January marks the kickoff of the official movie awards season, with each week bringing nominations lists from various critics and industry groups, along with the awards galas in and around Hollywood. All of this buzz and accolades, of course, are leading to the big prize, the Academy Awards, in March. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. I've just returned from Los Angeles, where I attended the 23rd Annual Critics' Choice Awards last week, along with today's guest, fellow voting member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, Russ Simmons. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, thanks. Hard to believe it's just a week ago we were dining in L.A. You're joining by phone from Kansas City, where you're a member of the Kansas City Film Critics Association and, among other things, the film critic at Kansas City's Fox Television affiliate. So looking over our winners last year at the Critics' Choice Awards, how did you fare on your ballot?
Well, I didn't have The Shape of Water in my top 10. I thought it was a very good film, but didn't quite squeak into the list. So I was a little bit surprised that that wound up being the big winner of the evening.
Coming on strong for Best Picture and also Best Director, Guillermo del Toro. Strong field, but a real wide open field. I think over the next few weeks we should see things narrowing, but it seems like Shape of Water has caught at least film critics by the fancy.
I don't think I've ever seen a year where it was so wide open. There's so many options. And when you look at the previous winners and other polls and other critic circles and associations, you'll see that it's all over the place.
I was taken, particularly with several conversations I had with filmmakers in the room, that how many genre films made it into our Best Picture list. We had The Big Sick, which is a comedy, Call Me By Your Name, which is almost a foreign film, The Florida Project, a really tiny little film that you can't imagine getting traction except for the push by critics. Get Out, the social horror film, Lady Bird, a beautiful, perfect little coming-of-age story, and The Shape of Water, which you could call a fantasy slash horror film slash all sorts of other types of films. These films are usually receive accolades, but they rarely find themselves on Best Picture lists.
True enough, and you pointed out The Florida Project, which I think is the perfect example. That film, nobody would even know what it's about unless there had been a big push by the critics.
And it is about these 7-year-olds who are living week by week in a motel in Florida in the shadow of Disneyland, and sort of a fabled, almost feral life that they have just having fun as kids, but it's contrasted against a very harsh reality of their adult parents or parent. In this case, and kindly motel manager played by Willem Dafoe, who was nominated for Best Supporting. It seems to me we don't have a lot of awards yet under our belts. The Golden Globes happened several days before our awards, but already see some alignment there with Best Actress went to Frances McDormand and Best Supporting Actor Sam Rockwell, both for 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Best Supporting Actress Allison Janney for I, Tonya seems to be a front runner right now. And, of course, we have Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour, who won back-to-back Golden Globes and Critics' Choice Awards. It seems to me every year that oftentimes the award winners in the early shows peak early, and we get a new batch by the time we get to the Oscars. Do you think these are going to hold strong all the way for the next 6-7 weeks before the Oscars?
Yeah, I think the ones you've mentioned probably so, but the rest are the ones that are the big question mark. Sometimes the Academy voting members will look at and see what's already been honored, and they will want to distance themselves. I don't know if it's conscious or unconscious, but they'll want to say, no, but we're the Oscars, and we're going to go our own path. And yes, sometimes they converge, but many times they don't. And I think that that's an effort on the Oscars' part to just to distance themselves, to show that they're different. And, of course, there's so many award shows now that it's kind of mind-boggling.
Right. We still have the Directors Guild, the Producers Guild, the Screen Actors Guild, the right. Writers Guild. There's a number of industry awards leading up to the Oscars that'll be rolling out over the next few weeks, and we'll get a better sense of where the front runners are. But this being a fairly wide-open year on the picture side, I also found that there's a lot of really late bloomers, films that were barely released at Christmas, that have the potential for knocking some of these earlier awards off. The Post, Spielberg, Streep, Hanks, a very strong film. Frankly, I think in the next 4 weeks, if we get some different political news out of Washington with the Mueller investigation, that may get the Post and its subject matter back on people's minds. Phantom mm-hmm. Thread is just starting to roll out around the country. All the money in the world. I think Christopher Plummer could give Sam Rockwell a run here in the final stretch.
Yes, and just the fact that movie gained so much attention because of the Kevin Spacey situation where Christopher Plummer stepped in at the last minute to take his place, and all those scenes were refilmed in a very short period of time.
Right.
It really does give it a little bit more of a boost than it might have otherwise enjoyed.
And it also brings to light and keeps in the front of our memories that given the Kevin Spacey and all the other allegations that have come out and are continuing to come out, that there is this dark cloud hanging over Hollywood right now in the wake of all these continuing allegations of sexual misconduct. And the shows themselves are responding, including ours. Gave a special award to Gal Gadot, the See Her Award, for her advocacy and using her spotlight of the last year to shine a light on women's issues and advocate for change. And also we had Olivia Munn as a female host of the show. I was curious going into our program, though, 4 days after the Golden Globes, where there'd been so much focus on the Time's Up movement and who was going to wear black among the women. And, of course, at the Golden Globes, almost all of the women were in black. Our show is a little more loose, informal, but there was still a heavy thread running through it having to do with the Me Too movement.
Yes, and there were the one particular incident that I remember was Niecy Nash, as one of the presenters, along with Olivia Munn, where they touched on those issues. I just don't think that perhaps it had the impact of the Globes, simply because it has a higher profile, and also, frankly, their timing is good.
Yes.
I mean, the Oscars are sitting back and watching and say, okay, what do we do now? How can we
right.
top that?
Yeah, the Oscars have been dealing in the past few years with the gender inequity in the number of members, but also the number of nominees, but also race issues, the Oscars, so white issues. So they've got this dual barrel they're staring down, trying to figure out how to navigate that with this year's Oscars program.
And to their credit, they have made steps. And so it'll be interesting to see. The demographic of the Oscars has always been older and white and male.
Yes.
And so it will be interesting to see how their choices change with the addition of so many members of color and different genders. It'll be interesting to see that the Oscars remain the Oscars as we've known them, or if they're going to mature.
One of the fascinating things for me for being at this award show is I love to watch how things are made, and you get to see all the behind-the-scenes workings of a televised award show. But we're also in the room with some really amazing filmmakers, and not only are we film critics, but we are film lovers, and it's always a pleasure to get to chat with people. Did you have any memorable interactions this year?
I guess the one that sticks out in my mind is Sean Astin from Stranger Things. Walked by me and he looked at me and reached out his hand and shook my hand. He says, "We have the same hair."
Stranger things can happen, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Of course, also from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I had a really delightful conversation with Patrick Stewart, someone I've wanted to meet for years. And he really went on about the importance of critics championing films. We're specifically talking about Logan, a film that most people might discount as just another Marvel film, but it was really a cut above and dealing with some really mature subject matter, and he himself was portraying a character with Alzheimer's. But he also, touched upon Get Out and The Big Sick and Lady Bird and Call Me By Your Name, Shape of Water, that, these are all fairly modest budget films to even low budget films that really wouldn't have the eyeballs on them if it weren't for the critics. So that was really encouraging to hear someone of his caliber extol the virtues of criticism in this day and age.
Well, naturally, you and I have always felt that way, that we were advocates instead of people who simply want to tell people not to go to bad movies.
Right.
I think that it's interesting. If you get a chance, you might Google it to find it, but there's a video out there of Patrick Stewart singing your Western favorite hits. It's pretty amusing.
A man for all seasons.
That's right. I had a chance to chat with him when I went for the junket for the Emoji movie. And he, of course, provides the voice of Poop, the Poop emoji.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, he gets the joke. And he said, I get why being a Shakespearean actor with all the experiences I've garnered over the years perfectly prepared me for the role of poop. But he said, I really have gotten to the point in my career where I'm loving all this comedy. And he's making that push. So he's accepting a lot of different offers mm-hmm. that you might seem un-Patrick Stewart-like.
Yeah, I think people, if they missed him last year or 2 years ago in Green Room, really shockingly mm-hmm. different portrayal than we're used to seeing from as a Northwestern racist white supremacist leader. But forceful. And, you know, it is fun to watch him expand. I got the pleasure of talking to Angelina Jolie and really talking about her advocacy and how over the last few years, particularly, she's using her stardom and her celebrity to draw attention to a number of issues around the globe, but also putting her weight behind films like The Breadwinner, which was nominated for Best Animated Film this year, set in Afghanistan, and also her own film, First They Killed My Father, which was nominated in the Best Foreign Language category. So really interesting to see how she is developing as a filmmaker and an advocate.
Did she particularly mention when you chatted with her why this was important to her?
You know, I think people who followed her over the years have known, you know, she has adopted a number of kids around the world, and she's seems mm-hmm. to have traveled widely and spent her off time when she's not making movies really connecting with people around the globe. And, you know, I think she just has a heart for people who are in really difficult situations and bringing that to light here in America, which, you know, frankly, we are pretty insulated in a lot of ways from what goes on around the world. And it's really encouraging to see someone with that level of fame using it in the ways she's using it.
Yeah. Over the years, you know, you hear so much criticism of Hollywood celebrities
yes.
for being vocal about their politics, and you hear pushback from people who say, hey, you're just an actor, you're just Hollywood, and you're
right.
rich and famous, and you can't relate, so just keep your mouth shut.
Right.
How, on the other hand, then you have someone like Angelina Jolie, who, as you say, is using it for in a very positive way, and I think that's good.
Yeah. Any, as we wrap up, looking back over the year, these award shows and these best of lists are always a good way to kind of remind us of the year that's just passed in film. Any overview or thoughts you've had, trends that from the last year?
Well, you know, my favorite film of the year did win Best Comedy at the Critics' Choice Awards, and that's The Big Sick. And I think that not only was it a funny movie, and not only did it have heart, and it was very realistic because it was based on a true story and starred the guy who actually lived through it. It's also a interracial romance. It's a female empowerment story.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of the things that we're kind of looking at right now distilled into a single movie.
Yeah, it captures a lot of where we are as a culture right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a fantastic film. And it was rewarding to see it on our Best Picture list. We'll see where it goes with the Oscars, which do not have special categories like ours for mm-hmm. sci-fi and horror and action and comedy, which gives us a little more latitude to appreciate these things. But I think it's a very strong year, and it could just make it to the Best Picture list at the Oscars as well.
Yeah, I've got my fingers crossed for it.
Well, it's always nice to be in a room full of filmmakers, but frankly, for me, the highlight is catching up with film critic friends from around the country, and it's always great to see you out there. And so thanks for chatting with me today, Russ.
Oh, great pleasure. Right back at you.
I've been discussing last week's 23rd Annual Critics' Choice Awards with fellow voting member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, Russ Simmons. Simmons is film critic for the Kansas City Fox television affiliate and reviews films weekly on KKFI-FM as well. You can watch his reviews at fox4kc.com. For a complete list of winners of the 23rd Annual Critics' Choice Awards and to see photos from the star-studded evening, log on to criticschoice.com. On Film's producer is Lauren Terrazas. Thanks to Dennis Wu for helping out behind the console today. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.